Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to have some fun tonight. I have the King James here, but I'm going to read some verses out of the Message just to get a different flavor, because the verses I'm going to study, most of them you already know, because I talk about them quite often. I think the Message will give us another, how can I say, spice to the stew we're putting together. We're going to start reading halfway through verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, out of the Message. In the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, halfway through verse 14. You're just going to say, now thanks be to God, which always calls for triumph in Christ. The Message again, in the Messiah. In Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. That's a triumph. Through us, He brings knowledge of Christ everywhere we go. People breathe in the exquisite fragrance, because of Christ, we give off a sweet scent rising to God, which is recognized by those on the way of salvation. An aroma redolent with life. Those on the way to destruction treat us more like the stench from a rotting corpse. Message doesn't pull back any punches, does it? But it says God leads us in a perpetual victory parade. I've been praying about what to teach in this new direction we're going. I had another message that was going to finish up. And I really felt like it wasn't where God wanted to go. I feel like I'm supposed to go here for the next few weeks. We'll see how long it lasts. And the topic is victory. Or we win. And I think I shared some of this Sunday. I've been confessing I win for quite a few years. Based on these verses. Some of these we're reading. He's made us more than conquerors, right? And something in me shifted. Something in me shifted that I always expect to win. Now, it's funny, in the world and growing up, we're so programmed with Murphy's Law. We don't expect things to go right. We say things like, well, that always happens. Something always goes wrong. Amen? I knew it. I was going to drop the last fastener, or I knew it. I was. You follow me? I knew they were going to have what I was looking for. I knew it wasn't going to work. And we confess that in our lives growing up. In fact, as an adult, it's standard mentality in the world that it's not going to work. See, anybody know what I'm talking about? And the world expects to lose. And I was raised with that mentality. In fact, I was raised and was told I really couldn't do much of anything right. Some of you may know that I had the same experience. And I grew up thinking it was not going to work for me. Even though I kept winning. Finishing school, getting great jobs, marrying this beautiful woman, everything going great. There was something in the back of my mind, it's not going to last. It's not going to work. So it's going to fail. And I started meditating victory verses. I'm going somewhere, and it's going to help you. You get a hold of it. I started meditating. Now, let me back up and say, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. If you want faith in something, you don't hear it just one time. You don't even hear it when you get a revelation. You follow me? Faith is developed through meditation, hearing and hearing. That you keep meditating it. You personalize it. You speak it. You act on it. Until you reprogram your thinking, your expectation that you're going to get what the Word says. Right. That's how it works with healing. We've had people come to our church for years and hear about the promise of divine health and say, oh, I believe that. I believe I see it's in the Word. But never take the next step to meditate it. And so they never get to the place they can really overcome any sickness at any level, because they won't take the time to take that word, that seed, and cause it to germinate inside and grow forth faith in that verse that you know that you have. And that's the difference. Some people try faith, other people live it. Some people refuse to let it go. If the word says, I'm going to work it, I'm going to work that into my life. And it's not always fun. Recitation, confession, meditation is not always just something you really look forward to. It's not a relaxing thing. It's putting your mind to work. I do puzzles all the time because I refuse to let my mind, get lazy. This calculating ability I have, I'm going to put to work. I'm going to use it. Keep it active and refreshed. So I do puzzles. And I don't like easy puzzles. If I do crosswords, I say easy, I'm not doing them. You follow me? If I can just fill it in, what fun is that? I want something that makes me stretch into my mental memory banks, my computational abilities that we all have, and make my mind extract information, apply revelation, to do the puzzles to keep that fresh. We've got to do the same thing with the Word of God. Use that mind God gave you to rehearse what He's promised until you know you have it. Not you believe it, but you know you have it. And there's a difference. And through quite a few years of saying we win, I've been saying quite a few years now, not 30 like healing, prosperity, but I'd say I've been saying we win for probably 7 or 8 years, I'm guessing, consistently. And thinking about it, I win, that means I don't lose. And every time I catch myself thinking Murphy, everybody knows I'm probably going to say Murphy?
Yeah.
Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. You know, you can lose in the long run, basically. If I find myself thinking that, I say, no! Arrest those thoughts. I always win. I make sure every time I catch it, I say, I always win. And something shifted on the inside of me. I expect no matter what roadblock I hit, I'm coming out of it victorious. Doesn't matter what the natural said, doesn't matter what the situation looks like, I always win. I shared this during announcements tonight. I'll mention it again in this message. We came in here. We have a sign on the wall up here that says, no small plans made here. Came from Jerry Seville, who got it from Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts told Jerry, don't you ever think small of my presence again. So he said he made a decision he would no longer make small plans. So we made banners for it. And we came in here, and I'm not thinking let's just have some nice little services. I'm thinking let's have a revival center. But if we're going to have a revival center, we need bathrooms that are accessible by everybody on the main floor. Praise God over Heather, built the place, had the foresight. At one time someone put a concrete ramp up front so people can get in without using steps. But we need bathrooms up here. But to have bathrooms, we got to redo the wiring. Because this coming in here is not acceptable for a presentable facility. And then we go downstairs, there's a spider web of ducts all covered with drywall. That's got to go. Not to mention, we discovered a cross up in the upper room, we're calling it. That's the original cross of the building. We need to make that visible.
Yes.
And we laid out a whole set of plans. Let's remove a wall and build offices. We need offices. Let's cut windows up there and see the cross and redo that upper room for storage. Let's tear out the ceiling downstairs. I'm going somewhere. Let's tear out the ceiling downstairs. Go back to the original building once we found out what was under the ceiling. Let's tell all the ductwork and redo all the wiring. All the little wiring goes, and all the wiring that's new that was done inappropriately is all getting stripped out and redone. I just finished the stairwell today. And no wires are exposed. No fixtures hanging down. It's bright enough now. Anyway, redo the wiring, redo the air conditioning. And all of these are a big job in their own self.
Yes.
We've been in 3.5 months now. Is that right? Three months and a day?
23rd.
So 1 day. And I laid out all these big plans, and I know people were rolling their eyes like, what's he done trying to do? We can't do all that. Has he lost his mind? No, I see the end. And I see the steps necessary, at least for me. I see what I think are the steps necessary to get to where we want to be, which is bathrooms on the main floor and a usable facility. Right? Again, I'm going somewhere. So I said, here's what we're going to do. I laid it, here's our end goal, here's our steps we got to take, here's what we're going to do. Now, having no idea how we're going to do it. I had no idea how we were going to do the air conditioning system. I talked to some people who've been doing HVAC work in here for us, you know, upgrading our systems, the units themselves. I said, I want to change this air conditioner. What would it cost to do it? And they're thinking like, probably $10,000. That's Friday. And here's what I'm getting at. God always wins. And so last Friday I was here by myself. I thought, well, I'm gonna see if I can figure out a way to make this air conditioning work. I got in making measurements, writing stuff down, making sketches on a piece of cardboard. And then I saw it. I saw, and I'm going, this is the whole part. The whole time I'm going, I always win. There's a way, because it looked impossible. Or at least highly unlikely, very difficult. God, there's a way. See, by faith, I said, this is what we're going to do. Now we do, I don't have to do it. I always win. And I'm looking at it, and I saw it. I saw how I can run 2 18-inch flex ducts out the front of each of these. If you duct vents up on top and in the offices. And the total cost was under $500. And I ordered 2 extra plates to go up front, another $200. $700 doing the whole job. And that was birthed out of, I refused to quit until I went. I could have just called an HVAC guy and said, make something happen. They probably made a mess like somebody did downstairs.
Yeah.
But God, we always win if we don't stop and we put pressure on. So then Monday I come in here, yesterday, and Frosty's in here. We're redoing trim, we're doing other stuff. And I said, Frosty, I want to figure out this electrical system. Now understand, some of the electrical in here is called knob and tube. It's 100 years old. It's antiquated. The insulation is so brittle and rusty, it just falls off in your hand. And those are live wires. The insulation just falls off. There's no outer covering other than that insulation falling off. It's dangerous. It's a fire hazard. Some of you get shocked. And it's run all through this building. And in my mind, it's going to take me a month of wiring, maybe a few months, to redo the building on that wiring. So I said, Frosty, let's trace it out. We went downstairs, and I had Frosty removing boards where I want to run wires. This has been weeks ago. A couple boards out of the center of each slot, a few other places. I need to see what's in here. I need to run wires through there, take those down. And it turns out those boards we've taken down. God will always win. There's a way. Showed us everything in the building, how it's run. Yesterday I cut 2 wires and knocked out probably 90% of the old wiring to the building that's not needed. And we're going to strip it out in a day. We'll do the whole electrical job in a week. If I have 5 or 6 straight days, we'll do the entire job. For everything from this floor down. Still got up above to finish. But that's going to be a breeze. started with, we win. God, I have the vision. What needs to be done? I didn't get a word from God. I guess I got a word from God. I just had it in my heart. That's what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And now, God, show me how to do it. And we saw it. And now, everything's moving in awesome condition by healing our hearts. That's the other thing. I know some people had a problem with it. And is this okay with you tonight? I'm going somewhere today. Some people had a problem with, let's rip out the ceiling downstairs. Why would you do that? Because I can't see the wiring unless I do. I can't see the ductwork unless I do. I got to see. So rip it out. We don't need it anymore. Not knowing, ripping it out, we would find the original beadboard ceilings under there, the original, the columns that came out of an old barn, maybe pre-Civil War, the original built-up beams going across it, we're going to go back all original, and then we can clear all this stuff out downstairs, and it's going to look wonderful. And you go down there now, it looks like a disaster. But you got to see all that gone.
Yes.
And what God showed us in the last few days is taking what looked like was going to be a six-month job and turn it into about a two-week job.
Thank you. And having the ceiling even higher.
The elevator and the ceiling is going to look, I think, wonderful.
Yes.
Be a rustic look. Not to mention taking the baptism out. I said, rip the baptism out. Well, now we have to put bathrooms and I have to tie into the mains. And so I had some plumbers in here. I was looking at hiring to do the bathrooms. They said, well, you need to tie into the mains, but you know what? It's right into the baptism where you tore out. You just dig down there and angle over and hit it. It's like everything we're doing has been the solution to the next challenge. And I'm telling you, I know this is out of we win. By determining if God, if we set our heart on it, God's going to show us the way. And refusing to say it won't work. Refusing to say, no, I guess, you know, we made a mistake. I know some people wait for me to come and say, I think we made a mistake tearing that ceiling out. I think we made a mistake for doing it.
No.
We're going to make this place a show place. You follow me? That's not going to look like the Taj Mahal. Not yet, anyway, because it's been beat up a bit. Ripped out the coat closet yesterday evening. And you can see behind it, it needs some work. But it's going to look better once we're done. So the point I want to make out of this is, if you'll work the we win mentality based on the word that we're going to read tonight, the words, you will expect to never lose. You'll expect to always have the solution. You'll expect for the right people to turn up at the right time.
Yes.
Let me touch on something else. I've been here virtually every day for the last 3.5 months. We went to Virginia for a few days. Tennessee a couple times for a day or two. But I've been here almost every day. And we've asked for help. We're receiving some. There's a lot of days it's just me. Friday, Saturday, it was just me. Well, you guys came in Saturday afternoon.
Friday.
But I'm talking about helpers for me.
Yeah.
It's just me. So Friday I'm in here. No Saturday I'm in here. Nobody shows up. Work days and nobody shows. So I said, well, I don't want to do electrical without somebody to call 911 if something happens. We'll just sort cables. I'm over the shorting cables hanging on the wall, cleared out. Now that room's cleared out because of that. We were stuck until they got done. So I didn't waste time. But while I'm doing it, the devil's screaming, nobody wants to help you. Look at Saturday, nobody's here. It's just you. And shut up, devil. I always win. This is going to work to our benefit.
Yes.
Our church is full of hardworking, motivated servers And I'm so thankful for each one. I will not grumble about anybody in this church. The devil shut up. I wasn't upset. The devil tried to take it and make you upset. But when you get the we win mentality, you're going to win no matter what. I really believe if nobody showed up for the next month, it'd still get done. Amen. Why? We win. He's always taking us from victory party to victory party. You got to encourage yourself in this. You get the wheel on the top. You don't encourage yourself. I always win. Nope. Not over till I win. Yes, Starla.
Sorry, I just keep hitting this. When you were talking about all the things that you were going to be charging up, rewiring everything, I kept getting the word restoration.
Restoration.
Yes.
Amen.
And, I just feel like this church is going to do things, like you said, not just in the community, but all around town that no other church is doing.
When this is ready, and I probably won't wait for the bathrooms, we're going to open this place up for people to come in. But we can't do it yet until this is, how can I say, suitable for people to be in here. At least downstairs. Up here's fine, but downstairs. And we're close.
Yes.
I believe healing of the hearts will be our turning. Right then will be our turning point. Still won't have bathrooms or a parking facility, but we can bring people in.
I think a lot of life will be restored here.
I believe so too. I know that'll happen.
Yes.
The anointing.
Yes.
It destroys the yoke, removes the burdens. But all this, I believe all we're doing is being burnt out when we win. You know why? We win took me through a year and a half in a church building.
Yeah.
I believe you could ask Karen. When the devil's screaming, you're not going to have a church, you don't have a building. And I would always tell her, we always win.
Yes.
If I say anything other than that?
Nope.
Have I complained at all?
Nope.
We win.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, meditating the verses, We'll shut down grumbling in your life. It'll shut down complaining because you're always going to come out victorious. Let's go to another verse. Romans chapter 8. Out of the Message. Now we're going to read, where to start. The Message is not numbered by verse. Let's see. Let's go halfway through verse 37. It says, do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, nor hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, and even the worst sins listed in Scripture. Did I pass it? In the King James it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors to Him that loved us. More than conquerors. What's more than a conqueror? Conqueror means you win. In fact, conquering seems to indicate total victory. Total command of the situation. But this is more than a conqueror. I believe it indicates in your winning, it's what it indicates to me right now. In your winning, because you're winning by faith and by the Word, you won't just win your situation, you win a faith promotion. Because your faith goes to another level. You won't just win your faith going to another level. You'll win, you're carrying more anointing. The giftings start to come on your life. The we win mentality. When you work it in your life, speak these verses to yourself. Go through the day speaking them. When you see Murphy trying to rise up, tell him, shut up. Get out of my life, Murphy. I don't think like the world thinks. I don't accept that anymore. God's my partner. I mean, he has my back. I'm actually working for him. How can I lose? And more than a conqueror, I believe, indicates when you apply we win, there's other things that get increased in your life as well. Wisdom, agape, anointing, finances. The we win mentality starts bringing all the blessings of God into your life. Because how can you lose? You're certainly going to be healed.
That's what it says in the message.
What's that?
It says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose?
I like it. The problem with my message is not by verse. It's got a whole, it's got eight verses in this one section.
Yeah, that's what it is. Ron has it. It's verse 31 in the message is where it starts.
There. Okay. Yeah, same thing. I've got it. The we win becomes a key to victory in every area of your life. Because as long as you think you lose, you're believing for healing, but it won't work. You're believing for increase on your seed, financial increase, that it's not going to manifest for me. It never works. It never works for me. It always works.
Yes, it does.
If you stand your ground. There was something Patty used to say. She doesn't say anymore. We were first saved. She could read the scriptures. I don't understand this Bible. I don't understand the Bible. She didn't get the question. She didn't say it anymore. See, that kind of statement, not picking on her, that was way long ago, 4 years ago. But when you say that, it's not a we-win mentality. Well, I just can't do that. Not a we-win mentality. I can do all things, the Word says.
Through Christ, right?
We win says, through God I can rise from every situation, I will come out on top.
Yes.
You got to believe it. They had all these things. We are more than conquerors, him that loved us. Through Jesus, who's our partner, who's working with us, directing our paths. See, these things I mentioned about the upper room, about the offices, about the drywall, I really believe God was the author of that. I didn't hear it say it, but it was in me.
Yes.
So it was in me. This has got to be done. Pastor, not another project, not another step. We've already laid all the steps necessary to get to the next, milestone. Whenever you're doing a big project, I used to do big projects when I was working in engineering. And you'd have a big project, might have hundreds and hundreds of steps. All these trades coming in, I mean carpenters, plumbers, electricians, HVAC, safety people, all these things taking place. Excavation, whatever. You have to schedule it all coming in, hundreds of steps. Maybe a thousand some big things. And you'd have places where there was something had to be done for it to go to the next phase. You might have phase one, phase two, phase three or something. And to get to, for example, one project I had one time, we built a new building, IBM Building 35. Is it still there? They tear it down. It's still there. 35. We had Building 32, which was a lab. We wanted to expand the lab. We built 32 right next to it, connected together. And my job was to make sure everything's put in that building in construction, that all the labs needed, and then, which involves the whole building process, we're building the building, make sure it's got everything in that building we want, and then to move everybody in a phase that it's controlled, and then get them all set up once they're in, three phases. Well, I can't start moving them in until phase one's done, the building's built. So that would be a milestone, building built. Second phase, milestone would be people in the building. You'd have to funnel everything to those milestones to get the project finished. I love that job.
It's so complex they haven't been able to move from that. That's why they've stayed there.
It's so complex they can't move from it.
Over to the larger part of the campus.
Yeah.
It costs too much money. It's too complex. That
lab.
Yeah.
It was a phenomenal lab.
Yeah.
It had an air conditioning system that was state of the art. Art back in 1980, we built the building. I've got some awards for that project back at home somewhere. And when we built it, they put an air conditioning system that was state-of-the-art. Art. All these sensors all over the building, all feeding in, all these variable, mixing box systems to mix cold and hot air and all this stuff. And Mace came in there and said, "We don't understand." They cut all the lines and just bypassed it all. You got to make sure when you put in a complex system, you got people who can run, work on the complex system. Anyway, milestones. For us, we've got milestones. One, get ready to have people be able to come in a safe and presentable fashion. I think healing of the hearts is another milestone. Milestone number two, parking lot. Milestone number three, bathrooms, although they can work at the same time. It's just financial thing right there. And we win mentality. Trust, you're going to be able to get all those things done at the time needed, the time appointed without any setbacks. And I'm amazed we're ahead of schedule. I really believe if I was to apply myself the next week, which I tend to anyway, next week we could have all the ducts and wires removed from the ceiling downstairs. New air conditioning runs finished. I have to have some help, but that's a doable thing. When at one time that looked like we'd be lucky to get that done by fall.
Yeah.
I really thought fall we may have this finished. And God showed us shortcuts with the we win. It's going to take weeks instead of months. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if you're getting this or not. I really attribute this to we win. And I never heard anybody preach this before as far as work this inside of you. I've heard people preach on the verses. You always win. But to get your faith connected to it has changed my life. Has radically changed the way I think. And because it's changed by the way I think, it's delivered me from disappointment in so many areas. Deliver me from fear. See, fear is the result of not having a we-win mentality. You get we-win, your fear's gone. Amen. So we've read, we have a continual party in Christ Jesus. He's made us more than conquerors. We keep increasing in every area as we just work this into our lives. 1 John chapter 5. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
But you got to work it. This doesn't happen by just waving your Christian magic wand. This is by doing what the Word says, working into your life by meditation. Confession and meditation. Do throughout your day. 1 John chapter 5. And verse number 4. Every God begotten person, message translation, every God begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. The person who wins out over the world's ways is simply the one who believes Jesus is the Son of God. King James says this is the victory over those who believe in our faith. The lighthouse is the world's ways. World's mentalities. And through declaring, your faith always wins, it never loses. You get to the place, Murphy has no place in your thinking anymore. No place. It'll even take you to a place where it'll reprioritize what's important in your life. What's really important? The kingdom. That's what God's making sure you don't lose Him. If you're doing your own thing, Well, you know, I was playing poker the other day online. I lost $100. Well, that's not a we win endeavor. You follow? You got no promise that every time you play online poker you're gonna win. You have a promise that you're probably making a stupid move. Well, I've been playing the lottery and I've yet to win more than $50. Not a we win activity. Now, I've told God, how long has the lottery been in Kentucky?
20 years, probably.
More than 20, isn't it?
Somewhere around there.
I've never bought a lottery ticket. Not going to buy a lottery ticket. That's the world's gambling for increase versus sowing seed and believing God. However, 1989?
Wow.
So 37 years. Wow. I was thinking it was about that. Yeah.
Time flies.
Yeah.
I've told God, however, God, if you want to wake me up tonight, give me six numbers, including one's the Powerball. I'm open to it. I'm not praying for it. God, show me the numbers. I'm not going to the thing and say, okay, God, find a ticket, give me numbers now. No, but if you want to show me the numbers. In fact, I said, God, we can shut down the lottery right now. I'll help you. If the same person won the lottery six straight times, they'll shut it down.
Yeah.
We'll have to shut it down there. Nobody else will gamble. Well, it's one guy, God's giving him the numbers. Why should I play? I'm just giving him my money. You speak, God, let's do it. But he's not done it yet.
Not always win.
I'm not an expectation to give the numbers. But if he gives them to me, I know they'll win. Right? Otherwise, I'm not playing the devil's games. What an awesome God that tells us through him we can't lose. Amen? I'm not talking about playing the oxy. You following? I'm talking about kingdom endeavors. If you partner with God, you'll never lose in it. Amen?
Amen.
Even when you thought you lost. It says, Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purposes. It doesn't matter if it looks like you lost, it's going to work to your good.
Sorry.
Not that God was into losing, but he'll turn it around for your behalf. Why? Because you can't be defeated. You won't quit. Should we go to the verse?
Yeah.
No. Isaiah. Do you remember the verse I spoke Sunday morning? God just put on my heart and spoke this, that God will give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of understanding and enlightenment, and remember the hope of his calling, riches, glories, and inheritance of saints. I opened this message Bible, I pulled out of the box back there a while ago. This card fell out, it's that verse. How about that? God letting us know we're on the right track. He knew when he had this written, when Jane wrote this however many years ago, put it in this Bible, God knew we would discover it tonight. Isaiah 54. Is that what I said? Isaiah 54. And let's go to verse number 17, really part of 16. I also created the destroyer, but no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. No weapon before we get you so prosperous, what the King James says. It says, any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for you for the best God's decree. It's the inheritance of the servants of the Lord and the righteousness of Him, saith the Lord. No weapon forged against you. No weapon. No weapon formed, forged against you is going to produce. It's not going to be effective. You know what that means? You win. That means no matter what the devil's trying to do against you, he can't win in your life. Well, he may have people speak against you. He may try to get you offended. He may try to get your feathers ruffled. But if you know you win, what does it matter? You know, you always wonder, what's the matter what other people think of you or say about you? But you're on the winning side. Losers, losers always speak in terms of sour grapes. I don't want to do this. That didn't go right. They are the reason. They did this and they caused that. Winners just are thankful for the victory. Can I share something else I think is an important thing for us to get a hold of? I preached about this over 30 years ago, talking about revival increase. I said, when revival starts to hit, we're going to be so busy, there'll be so many demands on our time, and we won't have enough resources. there'll be an effect of trying to, we'll run into each other, and the devil will try to get us offended. And I used it in terms of physics. When you take a gas, any type of gas, a set of molecules, and gaseous molecules, and they're in a container, and you compress the container, it compresses the molecules closer together. And what then happens? Charles, what happens? You compress a gas in a container. Temperature goes up. Is that Charles' law? You don't know? I thought you knew everything. He wrote me a whole description of what's wrong with our microphone. It's making it pop. He went into every detail. Thank you, Jesus. So, I'm going to open it up one time and look at it. If I don't see something wrong, I'm going to find out.
Another one. Do our shop.
We have about six of them back there with transmitters we need to try out. But I think they've changed some of the frequencies you're not allowed to use anymore. Some of the UHF frequencies you're not allowed to use. Let's look at that. Anyway. If you compress a gas, the molecules are pressed closer together, and they bump into each other more, and they heat up. And I declared this years ago, teaching about the coming of revival. I said, when it hits, we're going to be so compressed together, so much demand, we're going to run into each other, and the number one thing we have to guard against is offense. Well, I can't find this. I can't find that. I need this. Well, they're using that. You know, maybe you got one bus and the best of God for their project. You need it for your project or whatever. And I've been preaching. I was preaching to myself 30 years ago with that message because my number one challenge in here, when I'm here by myself, even when I'm here with others, is finding my stuff.
Yes. That's at home, too.
How do you lose my stuff at home?
Yeah.
I got stuff put in desk drawers I need.
File cabinets.
In file cabinets all week. Last week, Peggy had food in here and she had this garlic toast and such. Thought I need butter with it, but there's no butter in the fridge. Today I'm moving some stuff. I lift up a cover and the butter's under this cover for a week. There's the butter. And today, I spent over an hour looking for tools. Needing a specific tool, couldn't find it, looking everywhere. And then I stop and pray and then find it. And the tendency is, who hid this? Who did this? Who used this last? Praise God, somebody's using it. And I'm telling you, when you're busy and you're trying to get something done, you can't find it. You want to do that? So we win. Says, no. Me and you, Jesus, we're spending time together right now regardless. We win. When he's trying to get me upset because I can't find something, bless the Lord, bless whoever hid it from me, in Jesus' name. You don't get upset. And I believe this mentality is vital for us to go into revival, that as things heat up, we don't get... What's it say in Galatians? Church carnivorous. Devouring one another, it says. Is it verse 15? Galatians 5:15. Anyway. Instead, we walk in love. And the we win will keep you from trying to blame other people for your momentary challenge. How can somebody else's actions keep me from my assignment? Me and you, God. And I'll tell you something else that's been a blessing to me. That we got to have the televisions in here. Karen's letting us use her YouTube channel. She keeps watching these faith-oriented shows. And I can remember put one that plays all day. One after another one. Just faith teaching. So whatever I'm doing here, I'm getting word all day. Meditating scripture all day and concepts. And some great, great teaching coming forward. So even when I can't find my tools, I'm still hearing the word. We win. Are you getting anything out of this? Father, I thank you for your word. You seal it in our understanding. You make us, you birth in us a desire to make Murphy out of our thinking and live in the we win kingdom mentality. Oh, you have our backs, you have our fronts, you have our sides up and down. We are wearing the armor of God, and we cannot be defeated and we won't quit. We thank you, we give you praise in Jesus' name. We declare in this church there are none sick, there's none in lack, none oppressed, none in fear, and there's no strife in this church. We walk in divine love. We thank you for adding to our church daily that such as should be saved, and you bring in our harvest right now from the north, south, east, and the west. I thank you for increasing every front, and finances overtake us from every direction.
Yes.
Thank you. I give you praise in Jesus' name.